is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
They didn't listen to Moses, who God had commanded, here, give them my word, give them my laws. They started complaining against Moses. Well, who are you, Moses? Who are you to tell us this? Who gave you such authority? Well, if you remember right, first of all, God did, but then you guys said, we don't want to hear from the Lord. You speak to us. So I am the one speaking, and it's the words of God. And they complained even against that. They didn't want to listen because they didn't like what they heard. And their hearts were hardened.
Unbelief is a scary thing because it pits us against the God who can do all things. In today's message, Pastor Troy points to the unbelieving in Israel as a warning of what not to do. Though God had miraculously delivered the Jewish people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and many wonders, almost all of those who walked through the Red Sea didn't make it into the Promised Land because of their unbelief. Be careful to hang tightly to the things that the Lord has shown you and to continue to trust in Jesus so that you can live to see the blessings of God. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock in Hebrews chapter 3.
We have a spiritual enemy. He's a real enemy, not just some figment of our imagination who's out there spiritually, but he's a real enemy, Satan. And he wants to kill you. He wants to slowly tear you down, take any weakness in you that he can, and break you down and then destroy you. That's his ultimate goal. Because even if he turns you into some aid of his toward destruction, there's still the chance that you could convert and become an even greater witness for the Lord. And so he wants to kill. We also have another enemy, our flesh. Because of this fallen nature, our flesh isn't really inclined to the things of the Lord. Our flesh wants things here, now. Things that gratify here and now. And so your flesh is never satisfied. There's always something your flesh wants. You want a relationship. You want out of a relationship. You want the next relationship. You want the last relationship. You want something. You're never satisfied where you are in the flesh. Your flesh wants more money. More sleep, more trophies. Your flesh wants more love and attention. These are the things that the flesh cries out for. But see, God wants to give us rest. He wants to lead us in that place where we're not always striving, not content with what we have, but content in Him, at rest. You know, you can approach the same task two different ways. You can approach a task as a burden, or you can approach the same task as a sense of purpose. And, you know, this is what I'm honoring the Lord with. This is a calling, in a sense. Let's use laundry as an example. I think we all have clothes on today. And unless you have disposable clothing and you're well off enough that you can just throw everything away every day, we have laundry. You can look at your laundry and go, I got to do laundry. Now forget that you wore the clothes and you bought them and you're able to enjoy them, but I got to do laundry. That's a burden. Or there are some who actually see it as a service to the Lord. I know what you're thinking. Invite that person to my house. Let them serve the Lord at my house. They see it as an act of worship, a part of their calling. As a member of a family that God has blessed them with. God has blessed me with a family. And so this is just a small part of what I can give back. It's not the work that changes. It's our perspective that changes. Our perspective of the work. For example, I love music. And I like teaching my children a little bit about music when I can. And it's not a burden for me. I love it. When they ask about it, I'm there. Yeah, yeah, this and do this. But whenever I want to do something else, whenever my heart is on something else, let's say I want to watch TV or watch the game, or I want to do something just for myself, then when they ask me about music or when they want me to do the music, the thing that I love, it's a burden. You know what makes the difference? I want to do something else. So it's not the work that is really the burden, it's my attitude toward the work. I want to do something else. Thus, this does not allow me to do that and is a burden to me. We need to learn how to enter the rest that God wants to give us. And it doesn't mean that we need more sleep. I think it means we need a different perspective of what God has given us to do, what God has given us, so that we cannot overwhelm ourselves and make the things that God has given us a burden because we're in pursuit of everything else, other things. We need to learn what rest is and what it means to enter that rest. Today, we're given the example of how not to enter that rest, as well as the solution for entering that rest. So I want you to kick back, including you in a crib there, kick back, relax, rest, because right now the Lord has nothing else for you but to listen to what he has to say to you. So in verse 7, we begin, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you'll hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." The first thing that we need to do if we want to enter that rest is we need to hear him. We need to listen. If you're not listening, you're not going to find that rest. The Israelites were afraid to hear from the Lord. They said, "You're too mighty, you're too amazing, you're too awesome. We're afraid, we can't do this." So they told Moses, "You listen to the Lord and then you tell us what he says because he's too awesome. We're afraid of him." And so they couldn't hear from the Lord directly, but guess what? Then they wouldn't listen to Moses. They didn't listen to Moses, who God had commanded, "Here, give them my word, give them my laws." They started to complain against Moses. "Well, who are you, Moses? Who are you to tell us this? Who gave you such authority?" Well, if you remember right, first of all, God did, but then you guys said, "We don't want to hear from the Lord. You speak to us." So I am the one speaking, and it's the words of God. And they complained even against that. They didn't want to listen because they didn't like what they heard, and their hearts were hardened. Now, we don't have a Moses to come and stand with 10 commandments and throw them down if he's upset. But we have something better. We have the Bible. We have the word of God given to us, each of us. We have a copy. Some of you multiple copies and multiple translations. We have the Bible. We have prayer. We can go to the Lord in prayer. We're encouraged to do that. We also have the example of others that God speaks to us through, and our own experiences that God teaches us lessons through. We have all of these things where we are able to hear from the Lord. God uses all of these things to convict us. The Holy Spirit, he's given to those who are his. And so when these situations come up, it's like the Holy Spirit says, "Oh, this is information we need to apply. You hear it? You hear the Lord? You hear my voice speaking to you? Let's apply this. Let's change this." Let me give you some examples. When you read your Bible and you come across that passage that says, "Don't run around being a busybody, but stay home. Tend to the business you need to at home." You hear that and you go, "Ouch." And then we start going, "Well, I'm doing spiritual things though." But if there's any grumbling or complaining about the home lacking and it's having attention paid to it, then it could be that What you're hearing is not just words on a page. Maybe it's the Spirit of the living God speaking to your heart about something that needs to be addressed, changed. How about in your time of prayer? Maybe yesterday you told a little fib to your spouse. And so, yeah, it's a little one, I know, a little fib. But the next day in prayer, you're seeking the Lord and you're just, Lord, you're so great, I want to worship you. But then in the back of your mind is, you need to go tell your spouse. You need to go talk to your spouse. I'm like, where's that coming from? Why? I'm not even praying about that. Can't be the Lord. I didn't ask him about it. And so the Lord is trying to get your attention, even though it was yesterday. Now, we might reason, well, everyone's moved on from it. It's okay. Don't want to open up old wounds. And we just moved on from that. And yet, you hear in your time of prayer this need, this burden to confess something to your spouse. Or maybe you see someone, this is the example, and they act in a certain way that you think is not very good, not very appropriate. That's not very attractive for Christ, I mean, for a Christian. But then it's like the Holy Spirit brings it up to your mind, like Nathan the prophet did to David. That's you. You do that. And you go, oh. Looks worse on them, though. It's not so bad on me because I don't mean it the wrong way. I mean it the right way. You understand, right, Lord? He says, no, I don't. That's why I'm convicting you right now. Or let's flip that same coin, the example. You see the good example. God's been speaking to your heart about sharing with this person, and you keep looking like, I don't know how to approach them. And then you, oh, Lord, you know, give me the strength, Lord. Give me the strength. You know, a year goes by, give me the strength, Lord. And then one day, someone comes up and just talks to them, starts sharing the gospel and talking to them. They're crying, oh, I've been seeking the Lord for a year now. And and you go, yeah, I should have just went up and did that. I didn't know I could have just offered him a sandwich or something. And you're convicted. See, these things happen all the time in our life. In our scripture reading, in our prayer, watching people live out their life. We need to realize that we need to start listening. Listening to what the Lord is saying to us as these things happen, as they unfold. Or we will miss out on the opportunities for his rest in our lives. Because he wants to lead us in ways that are true, that are right.
Stay tuned to hear more from today's teaching on Building on the Solid Rock. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights from God's Word with us. He'll have much more to share in the next part of this message. We are so glad you've tuned in today. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged by what you've heard. If you've been touched by this program, or if you have any questions about Building on the Solid Rock, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also find out more about this program by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Listen to previous teachings as well and even subscribe to our podcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. And some of the things that we just don't get, we don't listen to, are causing conflict in our own homes and the people around us. We wonder, I don't like all that out there. It's chaos, but you're part of the chaos. You're part of the little bomb that explodes everywhere because of things that you're not working on in your own life because you won't listen to the Lord. God said to Israel in their wanderings, they always go astray in their hearts. They have not known my ways. Second thing we need to know if we want to enter his rest is we need to know him. Yes, we need to listen, but we need to know him. Who is the Lord? What would he do? How did he act in times past? And how does that translate to today and this circumstance? That means we need to learn about him. We can't just hear and forget. We must listen and learn and apply. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, we need his word in our heart so that when we come into situations in our life where choices have to be made or a choice has to be made, we have his word that we can let it reflect off of and discern, do a much better job of actually discerning what it is we ought to do. That comes from knowing him. One of the things that has stabilized me more than anything is reading the whole Bible multiple times and knowing the Lord. Not just kind of guessing, not just thinking this is what he might do, knowing him. Because there's so much I can automatically filter out. That's not the Lord, clearly. And I can show you some areas of scripture where it shows that the Lord would not do that. It really helps you a whole lot to know him. Now, to enter his rest, to make the right decisions, we need to know him, which means there are a couple of things we need to stop relying on. One, don't go by your feelings. Don't go by your feelings. Your feelings deceive you. They lie. Sometimes they're totally wrong. They've come up with some weird conclusion. The Israelites were tired. They wanted something other than the manna, and so they complained. All we have is this manna, which you provided, but that's all we got. We, Lord, need meat. So God said, all right, I'll get you some meat. You have so much meat, it'll come out your nose, and you'll get sick of it. So he gave them meat, but they went by their feelings in their complaint, and they felt justified in their complaining because of their feelings, how they felt. Well, I'm justified in this complaint because I feel that way. You know, one of the things that keeps us anchored is knowing the Lord. Because then when our feelings tell us to act or do a certain thing, knowing him, knowing what's right, keeps us centered so that we don't act on how we feel, but on what we know. Knowing the Lord. There are times when God actually wants you to work or act despite your feelings. You may not feel like repenting or asking for an apology or going to your spouse saying, you know, I lied to you. I didn't feel like it. My flesh rarely ever feels like repenting of anything. I just don't want to do it. It's work. So don't go by your feelings. Your feelings will lead you astray. But know the Lord and know what he would have you do. Also, don't go by your own understanding, because we don't know the mind and the heart of God completely. We don't know his ways. We don't know everything. We draw wrong conclusions by our own reasonings. I remember the Lord kind of spoke something to my heart years ago when I was going to be starting this ministry. And I was going home, and they had just built a McDonald's on my way home. And they put the sign up so that it rises above the horizon. And you go to this road, and it looks like the road leads right to that sign, right to the McDonald's. You know, it's like, whoa! But then you come to the horizon, and it turns, you know, and then it's over there. I was like, Lord, speaking to my heart, you know, not everything you think is taking you this direction is taking you to that end. You don't know. And so I just asked you to take the road to go forward and to trust me. Because when we sit and we say, I've got to make sense of this, I've got to understand this before I'll move. All right, I believe it's the Lord talking to me. Good, check. All right, Lord said it. Good. But now I need to understand it. What you're saying is, Lord, I don't move by your command. I move by my understanding. When it makes sense to me, when I see what's going on, then I'm prepared. I mean, I got to count the cost, right? I got to know what's going on if I'm going to count the cost. But what we need to do is stop creating the illusion that we actually know more than we do, that we know better than God, and trust in the Lord. Otherwise, we will find ourselves having those sleepless nights trying to figure it all out. I didn't expect that. How am I going to figure this out? How am I going to handle that? How am I going to manage that? That came up and I didn't know. And you can't rest. But when you know all I got to do is get on the road. Tomorrow, get back on the road. Where's it going? I don't know. See a McDonald's? May get there, may not. I don't know. But I'm going to get on the road. You don't have to process so much. Just trust the Lord. Walk day by day. You know, it's been said, and I believe this, you don't have to know where you're going to be in 5 years. All you got to know is, what steps does God want you to take today? And then if you are faithful to take the individual steps in 5 years, you'll be exactly where God wants you to be. The journey of a million miles is taken one step at a time. So don't go by your own understanding. Commit your way to the Lord. That way, in your heart, you won't begin to go astray. Because sin is deceptive. In verse 12, we read, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." Third thing that we need to do once we listen and we know him is we need to follow him. Follow him as he leads. That basically means live it. It's not like the Lord standing there going, go left, go right, go this. He's just saying, follow me. Oh, change that attitude. Don't do that. I'm going to give it to him today, Lord. Don't give it to him. Let's put that on hold. Let's work on your heart. Let's get that out of there. So live it. The Israelites tested God by their unbelief. They didn't live it. See, they had seen what God had done in Egypt and how he freed them. He took care of them and gave Pharaoh consequences. So as they come to the land, now here they are. Enter the land. No. We can't. We're too small. They're too great. They're too grand. We can't do it. And God didn't go, oh, you poor guys, let me show off again one more time for you. No. It says that those who understood, those who had seen his works were the ones he was harshest with. You know what I do. You know what I'm capable of. I've asked you to go in and you don't believe me. Okay, you guys will not enter my rest then. You are going to miss out. You know one of the sad things? We can miss out on what God wants for us. I know some have the mindset that no matter what, God's going to get me there. Like Jonah in the well, he's going to get me there no matter what. But let me tell you, the story of Israel in the wilderness, because of unbelief, never got to enter his rest. They never got to go in the land, although they were going to. If we don't do things the way God wants us to, and if we do lift up this sense of unbelief, faith in our own understanding, we will miss out on things God has for us. I don't want to miss out on things that God has. We can disqualify ourselves from things that God wants to do in our life. We can disqualify ourselves from having that family that is unified and loving toward one another because of our own leadership, the way we pour into them or don't pour into them. Well, God, you just get us there. If we just go to church, that'll be enough. If we go sit in counseling, maybe that'll be enough. No, you've got things that he's speaking to your heart about. And if you don't do those things, you may not find rest. Though you may be tired, life can fall apart all around you. In Hebrews chapter 2, we were warned about drifting. In this chapter, we're warned about avoiding the act of unbelief and not going in, not doing that which God has given us.
We are so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's study in the book of Hebrews. If you missed any part of today's teaching or would like to explore other Building on the Solid Rock messages, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You'll also find information about Pastor Troy and the church behind this ministry, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us for one of our weekly services. We meet Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. to worship Jesus and learn all we can from the Word. You'll find location information and driving directions at buildingonthesolidrock.com.
From all of us here at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek and find God's hand in your life, and that you enjoy learning more about Him every day. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the book of Hebrews, right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come.